Put your hands together as you make welcome one of God's own choicest servants in our time and generation. My brother and my friend, the president of the Eternity Network International, Apostle Joshua Selman. We love you, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Good morning. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We're going to pray this morning. I'll be sharing with us one key again that the Lord revealed to me from Scripture that is responsible for the opening of gates. And then we'll pray and trust God to do us good this morning. But please help me honor again the angel over this house and his amazing wife. I was so blessed, you know. On a lighter note, I was just whispering to Reverend, I said, my goodness, I've seen a dimension of your wife today that I had not seen before. She just came and blew this roof in worship. Let's honor her. Blessings to you, ma. Father, give me an encounter this morning. Please lift your voice and pray. Give me an encounter by your word. Salabaruske debrendegede balakatosiata. Give me an encounter. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see, my ears to hear. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Shamalakata brandagade balahusiata balash. Grant us grace this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. God bless you. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And as for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein. And it declares that you shall find rest for your souls. This is a very powerful and instructive road for the believer. It says, stand in the way and ask for the path. And when you are told, when you find it, be diligent to walk in it. And it leaves you with an assurance that you will find rest for your soul. Yesterday we began to talk about the power of the Word of God, Scripture. I started by again reminding us of the power that is contained in the Word of God, that the Word of God defines and describes God's modus operandi, the way that we obtain results in the kingdom, has been revealed to us through scriptures, scattered in stories, scattered in parables, scattered in prophecies, are the secrets of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus was teaching the disciples and he said, because it has been given unto you, Matthew 13:11, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It takes keys in this kingdom to be able to open and close. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 8. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 8. Let's go to verse 7. Let's start from verse 7. Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, this thing saith he that is holy and he that is true. He is not only holy, he is not only true, but he has a key. There is a key that he has called the key of David. And with that key, he is able to open and no man shutteth. And he is able to shut and no man openeth. So it is on the strength of keys that we open. It is on the strength of keys that we shut. We do not just open because we intend for gates to be opened. We do not shut because we intend for gates to be shut. It takes keys. Everybody say keys. Keys. So this morning we're going to examine Acts chapter 12. The Lord is going to be revealing a key in the book of Acts chapter 12. And then we will pray. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Acts 12 verse 1. The church at this time was beginning to expand and gain ground. The gospel was beginning to gain ascendance. And there were all kinds of threats that were happening to the apostles. Verse 1 now, Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. So the plot was against the church. Verse 2. He killed James. Remember James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews. How can you kill a man and see that it pleased another, then want to kill another one? Anyone that stands your way in this season, in the name of Jesus, anyone whose pain, whose joy comes from your pain, I decree and I declare, may shame and reproach never depart from their life. This is a very interesting scripture. That you kill a man for the gospel and people clap for you and you say, I see that you like this. Then I'm about to go and do it again. Verse 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him and put him in prison. Look at the state of this man. The apostle of the Lamb. Are we together now? To bind him is already enough disaster for the gospel. But he put him in prison. Number 2. Delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers, intending after Easter to bring him forth before the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But something that did not happen to James was happening to Peter. But prayer was made without season. Key word, without season. Key word, without season. Of the church unto God for him. Next verse. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. Look at this kind of oppression. That the soldiers would not even allow him liberty in the prison. If he slept left or right, he would be on a soldier to confirm that he's still there. Bound with 2 chains and the keepers before the door that kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in prison. And he smote Peter on his side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind thy sandals. So he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But thought he was in a vision. He saw a vision. The Bible says when they were past the first and the second ward. The word ward there is also synonymous to the word gate. It says they came to a gate called the Iron Gate. The gate that leaded to the city. And the Bible says it opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street. Forthwith the angel departed. Came to the gate that kept him bound. And that iron gate opened. And you would think that would be the end of the story. We're still reading. Now, when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Watch this now. Whose surname is Mark. Where they were gathered together praying. So they were praying somewhere. And then an angel came in response to that prayer, brought Peter out through that gate. But when Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda, 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. Look up. This is a very interesting scripture. I just came out of a gate of evil and intending to enter a place of rest. Now you who is supposed to be for me, I am knocking the gate. You prayed that I should come out. Now the gate that leads me to rest, the gate that led me to bondage, I came out of it, but the gate that leads to my rest, now you are refusing to open it. Keep that scripture. She opened not the gate, not for sorrow, for gladness. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Hear what happened. You need to pray for grace to know when what comes is your prayer, the answer to prayer. They were praying, "Lord, deliver this man, bring him safely." Now this is the answer to their prayer. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed it, that it was even so. And they said, "No. It is his angel." The miracle is in verse 16. Everybody read. But Peter continued knocking. The gates that would not open. Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Listen very carefully. There is a powerful key here that is responsible for swinging gates, even ancient gates, open. Now, I told you that you only benefit from scripture when you draw out the mysteries behind the stories. If all you know is just the stories or the parables, it will not bless you. Hidden in every story in scripture is a spiritual mystery, a key that, if found, can grant you grace to command tearsome dimensions of results. So the Bible starts by telling us that a man was in a very negative situation. Didn't matter what got him there. The most important thing is that he was now there. Are we together now? In prison again. All kinds of oppression around that man. To the point that the Bible does not tell us Peter was praying. I pray that you find intercessors. Because there are times that even the great can be overwhelmed. You can imagine the level of pain. Bound with over 8 soldiers, supervisors at the gate, and then chains again. There are times where it will be difficult for you to pray. But the Bible says, the church said, we may not have the power to come and fight Herod, but we know how to bring the government of heaven to bear. And the Bible says, prayer was made continually. Listen carefully, believers. Prayer was made continually, without ceasing unto God for him. So the angel came in response to the prayer, and he came and delivered him in a very spectacular manner. He opened that door and brought Peter out, and even Peter himself thought he was just having a vision. And he brought him past the first word, the second word. Do you know, when you read the remaining part of that story, all of those soldiers were killed. because that security was too maximum. No human under any condition would have the power to escape. Even if you got out of that prison, how do you escape the first gate? Then the second gate? Then the third gate? It described the material that was used. It said it was called the iron gate. Don't tell me God cannot bring deliverance. Don't tell me God cannot open doors. You are only looking at what is there before He shows up. When God shows up, none of those gates was a challenge whatsoever. The Bible says they open on their own accord. So there are gates. Listen carefully. There are gates that shut men, keep men in bondage, close the door of your relevance, the door of your influence, access to the glory and the grace of God upon your life. The word glory comes from the Hebrew word kabod. Many words, really. The Hebrew is kabod, and the principal Greek word for glory is doxa. What that means, it refers to the weightiness. To understand the word glory, you have to understand how they measured money those days, their coins and all of that. The weightiness of a person or a thing. The root word of the word glory is also the word wealth. A description of the extent of the excellency of a person or a thing. Are we together now? Yes. And so this man was now inhibited by gates, both human and material. Gates are not only metallic resistances. Human beings can be gates for or against you. When a man sits down and his signature, what must lead to your promotion? That man is a gate. They are gatekeepers. Someone can decide and say, as far as I am in this office, you are not rising for whatever reason. And they make something that is so easy to become so difficult because they have become gates. Now the Bible says the church began to pray continually. We pray for the deliverance of Peter. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. Your deliverer is coming. Your deliverer is standing by. Let me tell you something. This God you see is a mighty God. And when God is ready to stand up and deliver a man for his name's sake, it's a fearful thing to see the warrior dimension of God. He is not only a lamb, there is a lion. When God decides, he says, let God arise. Let God arise. The only way you make him arise is to make your enemies his enemies. For as long as they are your enemies, they will not arise. He will only arise when they become his enemies. And the only way to make your enemies his enemies is to become his friend. Then you become an ally. Let God arise. And let his enemies, he will not arise for your enemies. When your enemies become his enemies, when they threaten something your life is supposed to do that produces his glory, now they become his enemies. When they threaten your passion for God, your passion for kingdom come, they become his enemies. And the Bible says God is able to arise. He sent his angel, and the angel came and opened that prison door. Watch this now. He came out of a place of bondage, but he had not entered rest. When he came to the place where he would find rest, they were praying and they were excited. But there was no discernment. He knocked. And a young lady came and opened the door. Rhoda, when she saw him, in excitement, she closed the door. Look how powerful the early church were. Do you know what they said? They said it's his angel. That means it was a usual thing for them to have angelic encounters. No, if he's an angel, just leave him. He's doing his work. Let's keep praying. If an angel knocked your door, will you not open and say you are welcome? What did God say? No, it's his angel. Don't let it distract you. Angels are just doing their things. Let's keep praying. And then the Bible says, Peter, kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking, until they finally opened. And when he entered, he found his rest, and they were astonished. Listen to me. There is a dimension of the priesthood ministry of believers that is responsible for the opening of doors and gates. Many believers are not able to triumph over obstacles and swing wide even ancient gates, because even though we pray, we have not sustained the power to travail and remain until victory is wrought in the spirit. There has been all manner of teachings from well-meaning people across the body that communicate an idea that when you stay persistent in the place of prayer over a matter, that sometimes it may reflect unbelief. I do not agree with that. Scripture tells us that Jesus went to pray in Gethsemane. Why? Because shortly he would be descending to Hades, the place of the dead. And he prayed, the Bible says he prayed 3 times, repeating the same words. Are we together now? The challenge with believers is that we do not pray enough and stay too in the place of travail and prayer until victory is wrought in Christ. Now, let me teach you something. I know that your pastor has done an excellent job opening up to you the reality of Scripture. Many believers are confused about the dynamics, the administration of the kingdom and God's power, maybe because of the way that the truth of Scripture is taught across the body of Christ. This is by no means a way of creating any divide or any trouble, but this is just because I'm teaching in a conference. Most believers confuse what we call the finished work of Christ, realities from God's standpoint versus their experiential manifestation. If you don't understand this, you will live a defeated life forever. Listen carefully. The finished work of Christ refers to every dimension of victory that was wrought in Christ on account of his death, his burial, his resurrection. The substitutionary sacrifice of Christ did not just administer eternal life to the saints. No. It brought in experience back that dominion and that victory that man gave to Satan. Are we together now? So it's a fact and it is truth that in Christ, every dimension of victory that the believer seeks, as far as excelling in this realm is concerned, it is already a reality from the standpoint of God. But what believers do not know is that the administration of that finished work has a dynamics attached to it. This is what we teach. There is a dynamics to the administration of it. For instance, the Bible says from the foundations of the earth, the lamb was slain. So what did Jesus come to do? Because in God's mind, that was already done. But that reality then could not save man. Jesus had to come in the flesh to act it out for 33 and a half years. What he was doing was not adding to what was in the mind of the Father. He was executing what was in the mind of the Father. That's why he was called the Logos of God, the thoughts of God in expression. It was his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension and his enthronement that brought about what we call today the victory of the believer. Now, but as powerful as that is, in God's mind, nobody on earth should go to hell again. Why? Because the sacrifice for our salvation is finished. Yet every day people fly and swim to hell. Is that true? They are going to hell. Does not make his power or his sacrifice less than the truth. But because they do not understand the system of administering that life to themselves. The system of administering that life is found in Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 to 10. If you ever become a recipient of that life, you must follow that code of administration. The word is near thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach. 9. It says, if you will confess. This is how the administration of the life of God is imparted in the believer. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Then believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. It says, thou shalt be saved. The law is in verse 10. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word soteria. Not just salvation like new birth, any kind of salvation whatsoever. Are we together? So even though the finished work of Christ is a reality, if you do not find yourself subscribing to this administrative system, you will go to hell. In God's mind, no believer should be sick, because the same cross that paid for sin paid for sickness. But there are still people sick today. And your being sick does not mean God lied. It only means you are a student in the school of the spirit, evolving into that state where the reality of that word will be true in your life. Are we together? Why am I saying this? There are many believers who just believe that because they have found what Christ has done, automatically it is administered into their lives. This is a very subtle but dangerous dimension of deception. So we have people who never are able to experience the fullness of the life and the power of God. There are many believers who are poor, who are broke, who are struggling, and yet they study all the time that the blessings of Abraham belong to them. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, it says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So there is no confusion that we are partakers of the blessing that is upon Abraham and his seed, that seed being Christ. But just because that is a reality, it does not mean that you walk in the fullness of it automatically. No. Jesus said, if it is true that you are the children of Abraham, you will do the works of Abraham. The works of Abraham refer to the participatory conditions that he met for that blessing to be actualized in his life. So there are so many things we continue to claim. We continue to claim. And yet our lives remain victims of situations and circumstances. Oh, I know in the name of Jesus I am all right. And yet things are clearly showing you are not all right. I am favored and there's no iota of favor for decades. I'm moving forward and all we see is retrogression. Let God be true and all men liars. So when we teach the principles of the kingdom, we teach them because those realities are already finished. Access does not mean experience. Listen carefully. There is a difference between access and experience. What Jesus did on the cross gives us access. Our faith, the participatory action that we take, makes it our experience. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, not in your life, in heaven. It takes faith and the operation of the principles of the kingdom to make it settled in your life. If you are learning something this morning, say amen. Amen. So we must open up our hearts on the strength of everything that Christ has done. And the realities that have been purchased, the possibilities that the believer can step into now on account of Christ's finished work. That is what we call grace. Grace is not just unmerited access. Grace refers to the storehouse, the compendium of everything that makes God God. Power is grace. Mercy is grace. Anointing is grace. Wisdom is grace. Grace refers to that central storehouse that contains every possibility that is in God, given to the believer only through the office and the person of the Christ. Grace gives you access. But faith there does not just mean confession. The entire participatory process of a believer that shows your obedience to the principles connected to that promise. So for every dimension of God's grace, listen carefully, there is a mystery connected to it. If it is speed, if it is restoration, if it is favor, are we together now?
if it is the anointing, if it is influence, all of these possibilities are true in Christ. But for every one of these possibilities, there are mysteries and keys that connect them. Merely claiming the results without understanding the principles that lead to that outcome will be self-deception. And this is sadly the state of many believers today. Just because you saw the promised land does not mean you are in it. You can see it and yet never step into it. Are we together? In John chapter 3, when you read John chapter 3 from verse 3 now, it was a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. He came to him by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus answered and said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus now uses another expression. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, and the Spirit, he cannot enter. There is seeing the kingdom and there is entering the kingdom. You can see the kingdom and yet never enter into that experience. John 10:10 says, The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, But I am come, verse 10, that ye may have life, and that you may have that life more abundantly. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Inasmuch as Apostle John had told us that we are recipients of eternal life. Is that true? He told us that we have the life of God. But here, Paul is mentoring the church in Ephesus. And he's teaching them something about the administration of the life of God. He says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They are not able to step into the full potential of this life that they claim to have because of ignorance and blindness. Is God speaking to us? So believers, hear me. It takes knowledge. It takes understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom to actualize every reality that is meant for the believer in Christ. Merely believing that just because he did it, it is over, is deception. I repeat, merely believing that just because it is finished in Christ, you do not have any participatory role, is deception. Hallelujah. Amen. So here we are talking about the mystery that opens gates. And we see from Acts chapter 12 that the church prayed. They began to pray and they prayed without ceasing. Listen carefully. They prayed without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Read with me, God's people. One, two, read. Pray without ceasing. One more time. One more time. Pray without ceasing does not mean pray from morning till night. You will be an irresponsible believer if you do that. It means be consistent in your prayer life. Be consistent. The idea is that of consistency. Be consistent in your prayer life. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Apostle James again was teaching us, buttressing on the ministry, the priesthood ministry of prayer. He said, every time a believer finds out that there is anything that represents an affliction in your life, your first port of call as a believer is let him pray. You sense that doors are closed towards you. You sense that gates are closed. You know that prophecy does not seem to find the kind of expression in your life. It says to pray. Submit yourself to that prayer ministry and stay there until those gates are opened. Prayer is powerful. It is God's recommended key that opens gates. From Acts chapter 12, we see that two strategic gates
were opened, and all of them were opened by consistency. 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 The prayer of the saints made the gates of the prison to be opened. The persistent knocking of Peter made the other gates that led to his rest to be opened. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. It's a law. These are spiritual laws. That provided you ask, there is a guarantee that it will be given to you. Next instruction, seek. And it leaves you with an assurance that you shall find. And then number three, it says knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Next verse. For everyone. Everybody say everyone. This is not an assurance just to men of God. This is not just to those in ministry. There are blessings that are for everyone. For everyone that asketh will receive. Everyone that seeketh. And everyone that knocks, it shall be opened. For as long as you knock, it shall be opened. For as long as you knock, it shall be opened. For as long as you knock, it shall be opened. Can I tell you this? There are victories in the life of every believer you see. There are gates that have been opened, gates of ministry, gates of blessings, gates of oppression. There are people who were born and based on their background, there's no advantage whatsoever. All of them seem to have been caged in gates and prisons of witchcraft, mediocrity, and it looked like no one would lift up his head. But in that family, you will usually find one person who will be tired one day and say, this pattern and this trend must end. And they may not have anyone understanding them and backing them, but they stay with power and with fire. Day one day turns to 1 week, 1 week turns to 1 month, consistently every day. Let me tell you this. There is a law in the realm of the spirit that consistency attracts the spirit dimension of the activity you are doing. Let me explain to you what I mean. I can tell lies today, God forbid. And it may be a product of my own will. It's not the devil. It's just you as a human being using your own will to lie. You are not under the influence of a spirit. You are a free moral agent. I can lie tomorrow again, steal my will. I can lie next week again, steal my will. But let me tell you what is happening in the realm of the spirit. The spirit that controls lying is being attracted by my consistency. The moment I'm doing it consistently, wherever that spirit is, there is something about my consistency that is drawing it to my place. One day, as I lie, I will give that spirit access to enter my life and my destiny. From that day, it will not be by my energy again to lie. Are you getting me? So I can be studying the Bible consistently and just I'm tired, I'm doing it, I'm not gaining anything, but I continue to be consistent. While I'm consistent in the name of the Lord, the dimension of the Holy Spirit that operates as the spirit of revelation is being attracted by my consistency. Who is this that is always opening scripture? One day I will open that Bible and from that day, it will not just be you reading again. This is how it is with the spirit of prayer and supplication. You can go to prayer and after 5 minutes, you think you've done 1 hour. And you check your watch, you say, no, this watch is not working. All this time, 5 minutes, no way. Has that happened to you? I like this church, you don't tell lies. You prayed, sang, danced, and everything was under 5 minutes. And you vowed that day that you'll do 3 hours. Ah! Now you are calculating and wondering what in the world. And then you pray again. And then you pray again. And then you pray again. And you just think you are praying in the flesh. Until one day, you stand there to pray. And it becomes a vigil, only you. That day is not you again. That is the kind of grace that comes upon you, that even while you are sleeping, as you turn to the left, you are sleeping. You are not even aware.
Let me tell you this. Everywhere you see ease, there is a spirit supplying it. When you see ease, it is because that person, through the frequency, the law of consistency, has attracted a spirit dimension. If a young man keeps stealing and is under the influence of a spirit, let me tell you how much he will steal. He will steal in a way that even if you hide the money under a carpet, he will stand there and just go and raise the carpet. He does not even know what is leading him. Have you seen people like that? You hide anything anywhere, he just looks as if he's joking, because he's under the influence of a spirit he does not know. It's the same way you can be under the spirit of the grace for favor, and you just stand and say, no, I need to go to this person's house. Just when you get there, that's when your destiny helper is arriving. And people ask you, how come you get things so accurately? It is because you are under the influence of a spirit. So let me teach you something about prayer. When you hear that the early church prayed without ceasing, no human being sustains the power in the flesh to be consistent in prayer. Prayer is labor. Except you've not really prayed. Hallelujah. But when that spirit of prayer and supplication comes upon you, you pay attention and begin to pray. Do you know the mistake of Jacob in Genesis 28? He saw angels ascending and descending, but they were never coming to him. They were going to those who were calling for their ministry. That was why he was angry. How could I be so close to an encounter? And then the angels were sent. The Bible never said they brought any message to him, even though he heard the voice of God, but he did not have any, he did not benefit anything. And he said, the Lord was in this place and I knew not. The next time, he did not let God go. 32. Genesis. I made that mistake once, I will not make it again. Leave me for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Listen to me. Believers, we do not know the power that has been given to us in prayer. And the omnipotence of prayer. When it is accurately administered, you can swing gates open. The average believer thinks he is so weak when you don't have physical cash or when you don't have a political title. You see that now? Our sociological context has indoctrinated us into believing we are just masses. We are just a flock. You read your Bible and see what ordinary men did through prayer. Elijah, the Bible says, was a man of like passion. He was hungry, he went to toilet, just like any other person. But the Bible says that he prayed earnestly. Earnestly. The key word there, earnestly. That there be no rain. Notice in all this prayer, the prayer points were consistent. Not this today and that tomorrow. Peter should be delivered. That was the prayer point. They stayed there until he was delivered. When Peter was knocking, he didn't follow the window and knock. He stood at that one door and knocked till that very door opened. The challenge with many believers is that we do not have the staying power, the ability to stay through and pray until you see the answer to your prayer. After 3 days, we route through another thing again. For everyone that knocketh, that door, that gate shall be opened. It was the consistency of the believers around Jericho. Why would God tell them to move once every day? Look how frustrating that is. I'm walking around Jericho. No noise. Nothing. I hope you know that Jericho was a city. Jericho was like Abuja. So when he said they went round, don't think it was just one small shop that they just went round in 2 minutes. When you go around Jericho, even you ask God, am I going to do this for 6 days? Do you not see that spiritual things require consistency? Elijah washed 7 times. God, you are powerful. What is in the number?
if he had washed 6 times, he would have left leprous. 6 and then took the water the 7th time and just rubbed on his head. He was supposed to go in 7 times. And even at the 6th time, there was no sign of healing. It was until he completed that 7th time. Now watch this. Imagine that God gives you an instruction to go around Abuja once every day from now till next week. I know when we read it, we think it's just a city with a fence that they just went round. And no noise. So the 6 local governments in this city, down from Gwagwalada, what's the other part after Gwagwalada? Abaji. Going round there, down near Karu. You turn, and by evening you are around, angry and exhausted. And God says, rest quickly. In the morning you are starting again. But while that was happening, they did not know what was happening in the eyes. See, bah, the way spiritual things work, 5 minutes to their manifestation, it will still look like defeat. Whereas you have finished, you have, they scattered Jericho from the realm of the spirit. The shout was just a system to sink that building down. Consistency. So every day while you are praying, you hold hands with your wife. Zikos kabranda gadokas kebata. It's like a register you are signing. Next week, many of us today love God because of our mother's prayers and fasting. For 20 years, they did the same thing. Some of them even had the same position where they knelt and they prayed. They prayed that God will find you. And one day, in your rebellion, you just loitered around a crusade and stood there just to check for 5 minutes looking for your friend, and fire from heaven fell upon you there, because everyone that asketh receiveth. Can I tell you this? Satan is the master of the flesh realm, the sense realm, and so he can make you believe that the investments of prayer you are making is not bringing any result. The Bible says the word is quick and powerful. I've been praying over this issue for 1 month. Just when you are 2 days left for victory, you retreat. You know your answer is almost there when the frustration becomes highest. It's an agitation from hell. It's one of the ways you know seasons are about to open. There is a heightened level of frustration. Everybody is annoying you. Your husband annoying you, your wife annoying you, everything annoying you. When that happens, keep at it. It's a sign to frustrate your consistency. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. Father, build your church. Bring revival upon this city. Church history is full of men and women who seem powerless, but they prayed. Men like John Knox, who used prayer to overturn Scotland. Most of the evangelists who had gone to be with the Lord now, before they would go for a crusade in any city, there would be at least 3 months of fire from intercessors. They had a band of intercessors who would pray. They would usually carry the map of the city where they are going to and drop it on their prayer altar. And they are praying everywhere. The powers that hold the destinies of people, the powers from the second heavens, when they finish that, their equipments can now go before them. And it's not the day they stand on that crusade ground that the sick are healed. They finished it since. They only came to manifest. Woe betides a man who uses the stage for rehearsal. The stage is not the place for rehearsal. Whenever God wants to build you, he will take you behind the stage, and that's where you make the prayer investments. You don't stand on stage and that's when you are trying to learn about anointing and power. You are joking. Go and do your homework. When you come out, then you are ready for action. There are gates, hear me, that refuse to open for your father. He knocked it all through his lifetime. It did not open. Refused to open for your mother. And they all step back. Now God is raising you. Let me tell you what to do.
I know what you do. Do what they did not do. They prayed only for 2 weeks and gave thanks and went back. But for you, hold on to the horns of that gate and say, I have come with grace from heaven. What is this pattern of barrenness in this family that will not lead? What is this? Marriages don't seem to work. Everybody returns back to their father's house, minus me. And not only me, I'm not just here to open this gate, I'm here to scatter it so that anybody, see, if it opens for you, they can close it again. But when you scatter the gate, everybody behind you can pass. Can I tell you this? It was Bishop David Oyedepo who said, no matter how mad a man is, he will not enter fire by mistake. He can be mad enough to misbehave, but set fire, and there will be a level of decorum and behavior. He makes his angels wings and his ministers flames. One thing I know about fire is that there is no metal it cannot melt. No. If fire refines gold, what else? Exert fire upon that gate. Exert fire upon that altar. And watch what I'm telling you. Believers don't pray. We lament, we close the door and roam around, but we do not engage with the spirit. You are not praying blindly. There are forces that stop helpers from coming to your life. There are forces, just when they are about to sign something that becomes an open door, these forces use men and systems and structures. Lift up your head, OE gate. It's not just a pronouncement. There is an activity that you must engage in. Prayers was made by the church for Peter. Prayers was made by the church over the areas of your life. There are areas that if you sit down and allow the devil to keep oppressing you, let me tell you this, Satan is a determined person. He would destroy anything you allow him to destroy. When it was time for the nation of Israel to leave, they said, we will allow you go, but keep your wives behind and keep your children. Moses said, I didn't hear you well. Everybody and everything. I'm not going to live with my health and leave my finances behind. Everything. I'm not going to live with my character and leave my influence behind. Everything must move forward. Hear me, brothers and sisters. By the grace of God and by the privilege of God's mercy, I am a testament of what prayer can do. No. Until you take your prayer life seriously, you will see cheap victories in the spirit. You will shift systems and structures and align men and things to line up purposes of God. Awake, thou that sleepest. This spiritual slumber and laziness is why gates continue to look as though they are strong. This morning, for a few minutes, I want us together as a coordinated army to scatter some gates in this place. Gates of delay, paruske deba lakusia nahaskada, gates of shame and influence. Look at me, please listen. Just help those under the anointing. Listen, there are people who are victims of these prisons that Peter was in. It is the women that feed the men where you come from. No matter how responsible they are, they go to America for 10 years and return back like they've never left their village. What of those who rise just when they get to the place where they should sit down? They come down in shame. They never come down normally. Don't say it does not matter. No. the one person that becomes the breadwinner. I remember one time something happened to a dear woman, her only son, responsible gentleman. He finished with first class. He was returning back home and he had a ghastly motor accident, died in that instance. Don't tell me that is the will of God. I hope you know these gates we talk about, they are mobile. They are not just in one place. They look for wherever you are and come and stand in front of you. Oh, I want to help you. Where are you from? You look like you are my relative. Yes, sir. Meet me at the office tomorrow. And those gates come and stand. By the next day, you go to the office. You say, I can't remember. Where did I meet you? And you are wondering, what is going on? Some of you have been in this city for more than one decade. And yet, the gates in the city have refused to open for you. Anything you do fails. You do business, it fails. You have been trying to build. You are still at the foundation level. When you were trying to build, the entire land around you was empty. Till today, you have not lifted it to lintel level. Help them, please. Just help those under the anointing. Listen, I know this by the Spirit. Please give me volume, Elijah. We are going to pray. This is a conference. We will take out time. The Bible says he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. While you are praying, don't pray for yourself alone. Think of your children, born or unborn. Lord, let me pass through this once and for all, so that everybody behind will not have to go through that shame. In 1 minute, I'd like you to open your mouth and begin to pray in the Spirit. Please pray. Pray. Walk around. Pray. Be serious. Pray. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I decree and declare. By the blood of the eternal covenant.
By the blood of the eternal covenant.
Every gate.
Standing my way.
Standing in front of my path.
I clear you
by the blood of the Lamb.
Lift
your voice and begin to pray.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please, if you can, pair yourselves into two. You're married, find your wife or find your husband or find anybody close to you. You are going to pray. Every gate standing in front of our home, it doesn't matter how long, by the blood of the eternal covenant,
We command those gates be destroyed. Lift your voice and pray. We decree and declare in the name of Jesus, every gate, are you praying? Every gate, pray for the In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 2:18. We are still praying. My God, there's fire in this place. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 18. Please read with me, everyone. 1, 2, read. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Your favor is speaking. Since January, I've been looking for you, but there has been a hindrance. Your lifting is speaking. I desire to come to you. Are you ready to pray? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I decree and declare. Every demonic hindrance. Stopping prophecy.
Stopping my blessings.
From reaching me. This day,
I declare,
those powers are destroyed. Lift your voice and begin to pray. I declare,
every gate, every hindrance,
step down, In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. We are still praying. Just lift your hands. I'm seeing chains on the feet of like 4 or 5 people. I'm stretching my hands now. These chains, these things have to do with ancestry. They have tied some of you so that you will not move forward. Right now, fire from heaven.
Fire.
I don't know who that person is, but in the name of Jesus, anyone here who is a victim, help them. Makatos kepetea, maretos kida. Chains be broken. Chains be broken. Chains be broken. Chains be broken. Bring them out. We're praying. Every chain. Chains of ancestry. Witchcraft. Orchestrations of darkness. Ill speakings of men. Be broken. Shalika Parakatosia. Embreketes Katebeketa. Skopotokoto. Skopotokoto. Embreketokoto. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are still praying. The Lord is telling me to release people here who have been victims of delay.
Yes, sir.
Everybody moves except you. I'm praying now. Please help those people, because when I pray, some of you are standing in for your families. Enough is enough. Here at this conference, it's time for gates to be opened. I declare, at the count of three, not anyone here at Word Alive who is a victim of any kind of delay. At the count of three, I want all of you to shout the name Jesus. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Jesus.
Delay, be broken. Break now. Break now. Break now. Break now. Hallelujah. Was he praying? Look at me. The Lord wants to destroy patterns. It happened to your father. Now it's happening to you. It happened to your mother. Now it's happening to you. By the blood of the eternal covenant, we have an advantage. Are you ready to pray?
Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every pattern. Following me. I declare. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
You are broken now.
You are broken.
Lift your voice and pray.
You are broken.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Isaiah 60 verse 11. Isaiah 60. Read with me, everybody, by faith. Let this be a prophetic word for you. Are you ready? One, two, read.
Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually.
They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto me the forces of the Gentiles.
And that their kings may be blessed.
Listen, one more time, you are going to read it. But personalize it as a prophetic word.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready now?
Yes, sir.
One, two, read. Therefore, my gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night.
That men may bring unto me the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought to me.
Hallelujah. Pastor, sir, please, if you would allow me, I want a few ministers prophetically. Please station them just as a point of contact. If you can stand just at the front of the gate of your church here, just prophetically while we pray. Maybe some of the people holding the mic, just prophetically, just stand at that place. We are praying. We want to speak over this church that everyone connected to the grace upon this man,
yes, sir,
this must be your season for these gates to be opened.
Amen.
Please position yourself there. We are going to pray.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready now?
Yes, sir.
Now, everyone, we are going to pray that every gate that has refused to open,
yes, sir,
so that helpers will come into your life. Every gate that has refused to open, so that your influence will manifest. We are declaring over your life and over water life. Are you ready now?
Yes.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We decree and declare.
We decree and declare.
As members of this commission, we stand. And we declare,
and we declare,
word alive,
word alive,
your gates
are open
continually, bringing influence,
bringing
wealth,
bringing
increase.
Bring
lift
increase.
Your voice and begin to pray
in the name of Jesus. Father, word alive, your gates are open continually. The gates of word alive are open continually. Bring in men, bring in influence, bring in resources, bring in Open.
Hallelujah.
Kataya.
There is a grace for speed. There is a grace for speed. You write this down. You will marvel and wonder and see the way God will begin to honor men to testify in this assembly.
Hallelujah.
That doors just begin to open. But I want to release that grace as we pray. Please don't be distracted. Father, I stretch my hands, standing in faith with your choice servant, Reverend Godwin Abba. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that anyone here who must drink of this oil and this grace at the count of three, right now, let speed upon your life. One, two, three. Take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. Help them, please. Take that grace. Speed. Speed of accomplishment. Take that grace. Speed in business. Speed in ministry.
Speed.
I prophesy. I declare. Help them. Please help them. Speed. Whether you are an usher or not, just help them. I declare speed. Word alive. Speed. 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 In the name of Jesus.
Speed in career. Speed in your spiritual advancement. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year.
La cosa che c'è che le mamane, già dovevo se che c'è che le mamane, racca la mamane che le mosse, ma sotto ye, ma sotto ye, ma sotto ye, ma sotto ye.
Please look up. We're almost rounding up. Now, look up please. The Bible says Peter came out of the gate, the prison that made for captivity. But when he now came to the place of rest, he knocked and they refused to open. Are you ready to pray? There are times that you may not have the power to open the gate. You only have the power to knock. It will take somebody already inside,
yes,
to open for you.
Yes,
are you hearing what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
Listen. Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams, but he did not have the ability to bring himself out to stand before the king. He had to depend on someone who was already in the palace. Are you ready to call your destiny helpers? Now, watch this. I don't know how you are going to do it, but you are going to speak to your north, wherever north is. Turn to the south, turn to the east, turn to the west of Abuja and any territory. I'd like you to prophesy that anyone ordained by God in this season to hold your hand,
yes,
wherever they are,
yes,
compel their ministry.
Yes,
lift your voice and begin to pray. Stretch your hands, prophesy to the north. Stretch your hands, prophesy to the south. Stretch your hands, prophesy to the east. Stretch your hands, prophesy to the west.
Locate me. My destiny help us. Locate me. My destiny help us. Shababu, Lagada, Rukasata, the Kundeke Maru Maya, the Sharababa Legania, Lukano Borobosi Pretada, Ekalababaros, the Tenderi, Maya Mahano, Ido, Ikonende Gosu Telebo, and Lepre to Zikalabasha, Mandebo Sakati Arado, and Legadabo Shabadia Oriano, and Kuntalitos Ikada, Ele Tuabalesi, Elida Kerida, Baba le kebonde bosuria barida, me libre chusa kada, la katonde baba bondo kosuria baleta, mata kapaya basha. My destiny help us, locate me, locate me, locate me, locate me, locate me from every direction. In the name of Jesus, mande kesunda bari, eshalada, 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 eshada na yada, eshada. Eshada da yada, ele riadara mamata, iko paia suria, ila bareka, ele onde bonde gosu, ina la maia mashita na roya, e tua parte, e casada, ele kenti la nito ubraga shita.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh, 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 your lifting has come. Oh, 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 your lifting has come. Oh, 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 your rising has come. Oh,
wrapping up, please look up. I want to teach you something. Look at me, everybody. A time came in my life when I wanted to end seasons. I took up time, I prayed with all my heart. Listen carefully. And the Lord led me to a scripture that I want to lead you to now. Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. Let's start from verse 1. Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man, the Bible says, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Notice two things: his giving and his prayer. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius, verse 4. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy arms have come up as a memorial. Listen, I can tell you by scripture and by experience that when prayer goes hand in hand with sacrifice, they are weapons of mass destruction in the camp of the enemy. Now listen to me, this is no manipulation at all. Your pastor is a man of integrity, but I love you too much to not tell you the whole truth. There are dimensions of breakthrough. There are gates, there are doors, that it is not only your prayer alone. Your prayer goes along with a level and a measure of sacrifice. Many years ago, the Lord gave me an instruction that he was going to lead me to God's servant, Bishop David Oedipo, and it was a sacrifice. I had been praying, God had helped me, but I knew that it was time to break some territorial doors and gates. Listen carefully. And on that day, the Lord told me, this is now the day, I got up, took my sacrifice on my way down to Canaan land. By the privilege of God's grace, I was able to go. There are sacrifices that when they leave you, you too, you know this is Isaac, not Ishmael. But you must love the seasons before you more than where you are. And I remember when I came out to enter the car, so I would go and rest. The Lord told me to come out of that vehicle. And he said, I should place my hand on the ground, on Canaan land, on the ground there. I placed my hand on that ground, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, from today, you have entered the overflow anointing. I was praying and trusting God for increase and favor upon my life. You've heard my stories. And I remember it was two women. They are not the only ones that God used to bless me. But it was not something, well, at that time, maybe. And simply because I helped them to pay for sugar cane. They wanted to buy sugar cane. I wanted to buy it too. And I said, Mama, no, you are my mothers. Let me honor you. And I paid for them. And they kept blessing me. Old women. And one of them looked at me and said, my son, forever walk upon gold. Listen. My dear people, seeds and sacrifices can bury unpleasant seasons in your life and introduce other prophetic seasons. Now, I know the issue of sacrifice has been abused. There are imbalances here in the body of Christ. People have taken advantage of people. But anybody who truly loves you and is teaching you the warfare dimension of victory, if it is gates you are bringing down, it is not only your mouth that will pray, your giving. This is a morning session we are wrapping up. You have prayed. Most of you here, God has brought victories for you. I want to challenge you. You know me, I'm not the kind of person who will go and be raising seats and this, but this one, I know, including myself. Listen, let me challenge you. I want to challenge everyone. You are going to pray and agree with God that, Lord, I'm coming with a sacrifice, not a seed, a sacrifice. And don't, if you just come and drop money, what you did was donation. You just wasted your money. But you must tie any unfavorable season to it. Do you know why it's dangerous to steal money in church? Because that thing you are seeing, people wrap seasons and curses on it. They are dropping that seed to kill that season. When you carry it, you don't allow the season die. You carry that. That's what happened to Gehazi. It's in your Bible. Just because the leprosy left Naaman did not mean that it had gone out of the earth. He was waiting for somebody who would receive it. I have ended seasons in my life and I have introduced certain seasons of favor. If it is gates and the glory of God that you want to be released from your life. Maybe some of you are here and you have seeds now of sacrifice. I will start. I'm the first who will start. Some of you are following online and you are saying, Apostle, I am tired. These obstacles and these gates that stand. If you don't believe what I'm saying, no problem. Just follow the other part of what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, if it is levels of increase that you want to step into, I stand and I stake. I lift the word of God. If you honor this word sincerely, you will marvel and wonder at what happens to you. This is true. Are we together? I'm going to speak over your life what we are going to give. You don't have your seed here. You need to discuss maybe with your wife or your husband. Go ahead. You can do that during this, maybe the last session tomorrow. There are offering baskets here. Let me request, please. Those of you following online or some of you are here, there is a church account. Be careful and beware of scammers. There is one central account because there are evil men who take advantage of prophetic moments like this. And whilst we are serious about lifting the destinies of people, you will find all these funny people doing all kinds of things online. Let me challenge you. You have a seed, a sacrifice. You are saying, Lord, I want to end seasons in my life. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to mention any amount. This is between you and God and maybe your spouse or whatever it is. If it's a vow or a pledge, if you will not redeem it, don't write anything. Don't say, I'm coming to give God 10 naira and just be emotional. And don't do what you are doing just emotionally. No. But I stand by the God of heaven and I tell you sincerely, if you dare to honor the Lord with your sacrifice, I'm going to speak over your life. Some of you, it will not be more than 1 week before you see the strange things that God does in your life. Are you ready? So, maybe how do we do it now? I'll give you 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If you have a seat here and you are saying, Lord, I am ending these seasons in my life. Can we use these offering baskets? Okay. There are 2 offering baskets here. You can leave your seat. Hold on, please. And okay, there are other people holding seats here. You come and drop them. And if you are using the account, use the account. If it's a pledge between you and God, whatever it is, please do not do this emotionally. We are people who fear God. One day we'll stand before God and we'll be judged. Are we together? But I want you to release your faith and I want to pray with you in the next 2 minutes. If you are coming out, come out now. God bless you.
Oh, your lifting has come. Oh, your lifting has come.
Hallelujah. Now, those of you who are not able to come out, there's no reason feeling bad. We're standing, we're just giving people an opportunity. I want to pray for you. Father, everyone here in front, I believe they have come. If there's no space, you can just stand at the aisles. There's so many people here. Lord, some of these people are standing here representing their families, their ministries, their businesses. Some have cried. Some are currently in debt. Some are standing here with all kinds of issues, maybe legal issues. Lord, you are the God of all flesh, and the world is watching us walk your principles. We pray that you will honor your word. Right now, I stand in faith with the angel over this house and his precious wife. Based based on the integrity of Scripture, I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus Christ. By your prayer and your sacrifice, I shift you by prophecy. Step into new seasons. New seasons of breakthrough. New seasons of favor. I prophesy to you, everything that has left you that should not have left, I stand by prophecy and I call it back to your life. I call it back to your life. I call it back to your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And hear me. There's such a strong anointing here. Everyone here who is using this seed to break cycles that you saw in your family, patterns that you saw in the life of those who have gone ahead of you, I stand by faith and in the habakata katopakata lekata katabrakata kepo shoto berekota embreke teketeketa shadakata balakata embreke kepo rokotopa. In the name of Jesus, those cycles are broken now. Those cycles are broken now. Those cycles are broken now. Cycles of retrogression, cycles of poverty and hardship, cycles of servitude, in the name of Jesus, be broken now. And every gate that stands before you and prophecy stands before you and destiny. Right now we command, may those gates swing, may they open tita and jita, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, honor the seeds and the sacrifices of your people. May it rise as a supernatural incense. Satan, by this sacrifice we put a sanction and we decree and declare that you have no legal access to the lives, the finances, the destinies of these ones. In the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Drop your seed with thanksgiving quickly and return back. You can drop it in the offering basket, the altar, anywhere. Just make contact and please return back to your seat as we prepare to round up. Two more prayer points and we're done. Please go back. We're still praying. Again, the account details are on the screen. For those, I don't know if there is a domiciliary account for international audience. If there is for those, okay, beautiful. There's a USD account. You can use that. Should be projected on the social media platforms. Please, very quickly, two more prayer points and we're done. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you tired? Please rise up on your feet. We'll soon wrap up. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever love you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever follow. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways. For step
by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Listen, there's no time to turn to the scripture, but pay attention. When Joshua received his commissioning from God, he told him he was going to take Jericho. But before then, two things happened, and I want to introduce them quickly and we'll pray. The first thing that happened was he needed a strategy for the defeat of Jericho. The defeat of Jericho. He would not use his own formula to bring down the gates and even the walls of Jericho. And so the first assignment God gave him was, circumcise yourselves. Look up, please, everybody. Listen carefully. He said, some of you who came out, there was a generation of the men who came out that were not circumcised. You cannot attract the backing of heaven, he was telling Joshua. Therefore, get knives. Circumcise yourselves. You want heaven to reveal the strategy to bring down the gates and the wall. It is not without a circumcision. And when he said that, Joshua gathered the men, and all of them as a people, they circumcised themselves. And whilst they circumcised themselves, they stayed there until they were healed. Suddenly, a being came and said, Joshua, now that you have fulfilled the law of circumcision, you are ready to receive the strategy. This will be the strategy. Go around Jericho 7 times, once every day. And on the 7th day, you will go round with the ark in front of you. And then you will raise a shout. Let me tell you this. There is a reason why many people do not experience the backing of heaven to come and reveal prophetic strategies that make for destiny. It is because many times that circumcision is a painful process, whether for children or adults. Is that true? Yes, sir. The cutting away of the flesh. Seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, it says, looking up to Jesus, who is the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and even despised the shame. You cannot do God and something else. No, you can't have one arrow in your house that was given to you from the village and add it and combine it with God. You cannot want the blessings of God and you are playing pranks in the office and so on. Don't feel offended. There has to be a determination for that circumcision. The cutting away of everything you know that sustains the ability to drive away the backing of heaven. If heaven does not back you, there cannot be the strategy. Men reign and they dominate in this kingdom on the strength of the strategies they receive from heaven. Whether for ministry, whether for business, including idol worshippers. They go through the requisite levels of sacrifices and then spirits come and back them. You are going to pray a prayer of genuine rededication and say, Father, my life and all that my destiny is about Jesus, Jesus only, Jesus ever. You remain my priority. Everything that is not you, I cut it away from my life. Don't say I've been born again for 10 years. That's not what I'm asking you. Are you ready now? In 1 minute, cry your heart and say, Father, I cut away. Let there be that circumcision. Let there be that genuine circumcision. Please pray. Those following online, pray that same prayer. That circumcision by the Spirit. Relationships. One minute, you are praying to the God of your salvation.
It is all about you and only about you, Jesus.
Be magnified, oh Lord.
We're wrapping up.
You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can't do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified, oh Lord, be magnified. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my heart, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance.
If there is anybody here under the sound of my voice, I do not want to take for granted that even though we've all prayed a prayer of rededication and consecration, there might be one or two people here who are saying, Apostle, I love Jesus, but I've not won that war. I'll just count 1 to 4. 2. Don't be ashamed. Win that war. Stand before Him. Come, please.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
I salute you, my dear brothers and sisters, for making this bold decision. The Bible declares that everyone who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast away. I salute you for the confidence and the courage. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. The Bible declares, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. I want you to lift your right hand before Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. And I want you to say this after me. Let it be from the depth of your heart. You're not reciting a poem. Say, Lord Jesus,